Welcome to the Frontline Herbalism Podcast with your host Nicole Rose from the Solidarity Apothecary. This is your place for all things plants and liberation. Let's get started.
Hello, welcome back to the Frontline Herbalism Podcast. I think my microphone has died a death, so I am very sorry for the audio difference. If you can hear a difference, I will, invest in a new one soon. It served me well. You know, there's nearly like 130 episodes on this podcast, but it's a bit frustrating. So yeah, I'm sorry again if the sound isn't ideal. I hope you are well. I've had a bit of a back to front day with my little one having a fever in the night, so I didn't take him to nursery this morning. I think it's teething related. He seems his bouncy self this morning, but I just wanted to keep an eye on him. But I've got a little bit of childcare support this afternoon, so I am going to be talking about sedative nervines. And I think I'm just going to pause there and do the section on that properly in a minute. But I just wanted to say the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course is open for enrollment. It will close on Sunday, the 12th of April, but don't leave me hanging until then. If you're interested in joining, please join as soon as you can. It's a fucking amazing offering. No one is turned away for lack of funds. You can access it for free if needed. If you are able to pay the standard rate, you can pay by installments or like a small monthly donation. The course funds like pretty much most of the work of the Solidarity Apothecary of supporting people experiencing state violence with herbalism, with lots of different formats to that, from care packages to books to prisoners to, you know, the Black Flag Anarchist free herbal clinic online, all of these things. So yeah, I would really appreciate your support in sharing the course. Like, it's a fucking incredible offering. Like, I've talked about it loads on the podcast, but it is absolutely solid introduction to herbalism if you're new to herbalism. If you're not new to herbalism, it's like a fucking amazing string to your bow in terms of working with the nervous system, understanding trauma, looking at political frameworks around trauma, looking at different nervous system states and how to work with plants to shift those states, with like just fucking loads of, you know, experiential gold of things that I've learned over the years from supporting myself and other people through trauma and PTSD and different things. So yeah, I think it's like pretty one of a kind, I'm not gonna lie. So yeah, so please, please, please check it out if you're interested. It's been a little bit rough on the old single mum front in terms of this fucking clocks changing and stuff, and Lee not getting to bed till really late, and then having a really bad night the other night. Like I said, like, I think it's teething. So I literally got like 2 hours sleep or something, and then tried to work on Monday. And I wasn't pretty. And then Tuesday, I literally just had to sleep. And then with this clock change, he's like going to sleep a lot later. So then I don't get the same like couple of hours that I'd get before I really need to sleep. So anyway, it's all been a bit tiring. But that's, you know, that is life. But I just wanted to say, like, I really lean on my community and all of the people that follow my work and, like, you know, are always emailing, offering like, hey, can I support you in any way, and blah, blah, blah. It's just like, yeah, share the fucking course, share it with your mates, share it with your family, share it in your groups, your collectives. Like, you know, someone reposted it on Instagram and they were like, there is never a more critical time to do this course. And I thought, yeah, you know, it's actually really quite difficult to promote something when there's so much fucking horror going on and all this solidarity stuff to organize and, you know, people resisting fascism and climate change and all the things. But it's like the fact that all those things are happening all of the time is like exactly why we need to resource ourselves and each other and take care of each other and tend to each other's bodies. So I do think it's an important offering right now. So anyway, go check it out. I'm going to pause this and then I'm going to wax lyrical all about sedative nervines, because they are fucking amazing tools in the herbal toolkit, amazing plants to work with. And I'm going to tell you why. Okay, thanks for listening. Bye. Okay, so we've already talked about a few different kinds of nervines, like cardiac nervines and relaxant nervines. So nervines are herbs with an affinity for the nervous system. And, you know, I do this sort of preamble in all the episodes, but basically they all have often quite different actions on the body. They have different constituents, they have different contraindications. You know, those are kind of like warnings of what they might not be safe to like take with, you know, for example, like a pharmaceutical medication or a different type of herb or, you know, a certain health condition. But they're all very nuanced and you kind of need to know them all individually, if that makes sense. Like just because they share the same category doesn't mean they have all the same action. So knowing the differences between them is like super helpful because everyone is different. Everyone has a different body. Everyone has a different reason why they're struggling with sleep. So sedative nervines, or they're often called hypnotic nervines, have a stronger sedating effect on the nervous system. You know, most people know what a sedative is and what that action is, but basically they can help induce sleep. They often relieve pain and tension and can just enable this like deeper state of physical kind of relaxation. And again, like I critique the word relaxation, but here I really am genuinely talking about relaxation in terms of like depth and quality of sleep or of kind of like, you know, like sedated kind of physical rest. So I'm going to kind of like bounce around a few of them. But the ones that I talk about in a lot of depth in the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course are skullcap, passion flower, hops, valerian, wild lettuce, California poppy, and mugwort. But there are many, many, many other herbs in people's like local, like Materia Medica, like their local plant ecologies all over the world that will have a sedative action. Like I talk at the beginning of the course how I tend to mostly work with plants that I can either forage, ideally, from where I live or grow and harvest, or they can sort of be like sustainably cultivated and I can kind of, you know, buy them like organically, like in bulk. And most of the herbs, I try and work with herbs from my lineages, but, you know, there are a lot of herbs that, you know, come from different places. For example, California poppy is, you know, I don't know if it's like actually indigenous in the so-called US, but I know that there's like a really, really long like indigenous relationship with that plant. I don't mean indigenous in the sense that like it's like a really fucking complicated world of botany when people try and say plants are from particular places, because, you know, they'll say things like, okay, plantain like came with colonizers, and then like indigenous people will be like, no, actually we have our own plantain, it's this one, blah 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 blah. So it, you know, it gets a bit murky of like, you know, because a lot of plants, like people are like, oh, they're from Europe, and they're actually from fucking Africa and Asia, and like, do you know what I mean? So anyway, so like part of kind of like this decolonial thinking around herbs and learning is like kind of questioning and challenging where herbs are from. But the reason I included California poppy and I work with California poppy is it's like very easy to grow. Like it grows like where I live, you know, you can actually forage it in the city. Like I remember in Calais being like shocked by how much it would grow, like especially around graveyards, which is really interesting. So anyway, but those are the herbs that I talk about in depth that I have the most like clinical and like practical experience with. But yeah, I talk about this a lot in the course, and I just like, yeah, I guess like content warning around sort of rape and sexual violence, like this isn't, or like medical trauma, like this isn't a nice thing to say or to like add to your day or like to trigger your memory, but like sedative nervines like they're not a fucking joke in the sense of like they can really make you shift into a different state, which is what we want, right? Like, or what we might be seeking. But that state of feeling kind of like a bit kind of hypnotized, a bit sedated, like it's not always desirable for everyone. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One, sort of that level of kind of like relaxation, shall I say, is maybe unfamiliar for someone. For example, someone who has been very hypervigilant, maybe in fight or flight a lot, who has maybe had a childhood where access to kind of like a resting, digesting kind of like low tempo, low activation, easeful state is actually super unfamiliar and therefore very scary to the nervous system and potentially very triggering. So to kind of go from like hyper activated to heavily sedated, like it's not always like an ideal jump. And I can, you know, I'm going to go into that more in a minute, but I just want to say, like, as a nervous system state, it can be quite unfamiliar for people. Unfortunately, a lot of people also experience trauma in this state. For example, if they're under the influence of certain like sedating drugs or medications, you know, maybe they've experienced harm in a psychiatric ward and they've been like sedated against their will, for example, or someone has experienced like, what do they call it? Like basically when people drug someone to rape them, like, you know, and it's so fucking horrifically prevalent, sexual violence. Like most women and feminized people will have experienced some sort of sexual violence, like almost certainly, well, not certainly, but high numbers of women are experiencing rape, right? So it's like, if you're working with clients who are women, like you have to consider that that might be part of their history somewhere and they might not disclose it to you. So yeah, just, I guess, a kind of like forewarning that if someone has been in that state when a certain act of violence has happened against them, they might not have returned to that state like for a long time. Like, you know, some people, if they've experienced sexual violence when they've been like drunk or on drugs, like maybe they've actually ended up stopped drinking. Like I haven't had a drink since 2017. Like I hate that feeling of being drunk. And it's also probably from being like a kind of hypervigilant control freak, but I don't feel safe when I'm in a kind of like change state. And some people working with herbs that have that effect, like might not feel safe either. And it might like trigger a kind of bodily memory for something they've been through, you know, also like anesthetic or like medical trauma, things like this. So yeah, so I just want people to take these herbs really seriously and treat them with respect and recognize that like not everyone wants to feel this like sedated state. And also like everyone's different in that regard. Like for example, I've got period pains at the moment, but like if I took a little bit of cramp bark, like that would make me want to have a sleep. And like single mom life doesn't allow you to like nap much in the daytime. So it's like, I'm not kind of like giving myself that action. Whereas someone else could take some cramp bark and it just wouldn't touch the sides for them. Like they wouldn't feel sedated at all. And you know, like I do find people that have got like quite an intense kind of history with certain categories of drugs, herbs, maybe like just won't have like the same dramatic effect on them as someone else. But nuance, people can also think they have a lot of tolerance and then take some herb and then actually be really fucking shocked by how effective it is. I remember supporting a couple of friends of mine who were in a relationship at a time who one of them was in recovery, like was kind of like coming off heroin and was just like needing some support in that process through the pandemic. And I think I sent a few different things, like including Skullcap, and like he was really shocked at how like wonderful Skullcap was, like in terms of like he'd been a mad insomniac for like decades and was just like really surprised that this herb was effective. So yeah, so you can't take it for granted, basically. Okay, so that's like quite a few important points. I guess the other thing I want to say is that like sleep is like fucking important, right? Like you've heard me talk about sleep a lot. Like it's like pretty much where I always start with every client I'm working with, is how can they get deeper restorative sleep, reduce their cortisol levels so that they're not having like night wakings. And, you know, there's nothing better for the body in terms of restoration and addressing inflammation and even like processing trauma. I know that's like a whole fucking ball game. And actually, I will be talking about that in terms of like why sometimes people resist sleep. And it is because, you know, it unlocks the subconscious and therefore can trigger things like nightmares. And then sleep, which is meant to be this kind of like safe place for the nervous system, becomes like threatening and frightening. But there, you know, there are herbs that can really help with that. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that like, I always want to work with like sort of more relaxant nervines, you know, with the disclaimer around what relax means. But with herbs that are like more for kind of like daytime use, like chamomile or even lavender, for example, or lemon balm, because to have a good night's sleep, you kind of need to have had time in your day where you've been in a more like parasympathetic, like rest and digest state. It's very difficult to go from like extreme adrenaline to just like passing out asleep. Do you know what I mean? And I'm going to talk about that as well with you know, an example with wild lettuce. But daytime nervous system support is where, you know, is a priority if you want to also shift into sleeping better. And sometimes someone doesn't even need like a sedative herb for the night. Like sometimes they just need to reduce their levels of fight or flight through the daytime to have that effect. So daytime support is really important. And, you know, like with all of these things, like always check about like contraindications. For example, like hops is kind of contraindicated for people with depression and on certain antidepressants and things. Like, you know, there's every plant, like if you're ever going to take a plant, like please have a Google, look it up, check a good herb book and see if there might be a risk with, you know, a particular medication, or, you know, definitely be cautious, things like pregnancy. And I guess like I miss these herbs because I had a phase where I was really struggling to sleep when I was like breastfeeding, like maybe like 6-8 months in. Like it wasn't like crazy newborn time, but I literally took a tiny, like 2 drops of skullcap tincture because I was just struggling with that getting off, like falling asleep process. Fuck me, like I could barely keep myself awake to breastfeed. Like it was so, like I just felt like I had to just kind of like hold my eyes open. Like it was so tough. So just be careful. Like if someone is, like breast or chest feeding, like obviously, you know, you need to be careful about like herbal constituents like passing to the infant. But just kind of like if someone is at risk of, like they, like basically if it's like not safe for you to be kind of sedated, then don't fuck around with the herbs, basically. Like, you know, some nights I struggle maybe to get to sleep and I will use like, for example, a bit of lavender oil, but like that means I can still fall asleep and still wake up to my baby because we co-sleep. But like, I think if I took something stronger, I would be a bit nervous. I would just like sleep through him waking up and needing me and stuff. So just be aware of like what's going on in someone's life before, you know, introducing a herb. And also like, you know, they put these cautions on of like cautions while driving or using heavy machinery. But like that shit is fucking true, man. Like, I have a story of someone in my life who took some cramp bark tincture and had a car accident, for example. So like, yeah, you do need to be careful with the kind of sedating herbs, because often, like, I don't find them as bad as like a lot of, like, for example, like if anyone's taken like antihistamines, you know, like to get to sleep, or they've had an allergic reaction and they've taken antihistamines, like you will know that fucking hangover feeling of how they feel the next day, and you'll feel like groggy. And a lot of people stop sleeping tablets because they just can't function the next day. And I think herbs are much, much better, but you still have to be fucking careful because everyone's got a different like clearance system in terms of like how well they're going to be moving that herb out of their system, if that makes sense. So, you know, someone might take some like wild lettuce and then feel fine the next day, and someone else might be really, really sleepy. I actually have a funny story of someone who I supported who, bless them, like couldn't sleep well because of like police raids. And we worked with a few different herbs, but when they took wild lettuce, they would sleep in so late and sleep through like all their alarms for work, and it was like literally jeopardizing their job that they couldn't like wake up through their alarm. So in the end we just stuck with passion flower, which has been like a fantastic support for them. I think starting with the herbs that are maybe like a little bit, they're not less strong because they are like, these are all very strong plants, but just kind of like a bit like, you know, I'd always rather work with like chamomile, for example, than like, you know, like a stronger sedative. Okay. Oh yeah, the other caution I wanted to talk about was nightmares. Oh, so I've got a whole other podcast episode about herbal support for nightmares. And I also had a very interesting series on Instagram where people were like commenting with their experiences and as I expected, lots of people have had challenges with herbs, for example, like mugwort, which is, you know, can for some people be an incredible sleep ally and dreaming ally. You know, they might work with mugwort kind of like ritualistically to do, you know, like very specific kind of like journeying and dream work and stuff. Or they might just like be able to take mugwort tea in the evening, often combined with other things like rose and oat straw, and they don't have any kind of distressing dreams and they have like a really peaceful sleep. Other people, including myself, can take mugwort and it's like fucking sore in my brain in the night. Like all the fucking traumatic memories are coming to the surface. I'm having fucking hardcore nightmares. Like it's not fucking a fun ride. Maybe that's the magic of mugwort helping me to process trauma. Do you know what I mean? And to process memories from prison and everything else. But like, you just don't fucking want that sometimes. So yeah, some of the herbs are like a bit more hypnotic than others. And herbs like valerian, for example, are known to increase like blood flow to the brain. So, you know, like those little, what are they called? Dreams or like, they like sleeping tablets, but basically like in prison, they would give them out as well, like for people that ask for them. Calms, that's it. And they would have valerian in them. And maybe 5 times out of 10, they would work for someone and valerian would have like a wonderful sedating effect on them and help them sleep. For other people, valerian can be like incredibly stimulating, and that might be either they just can't sleep, so they go like a bit manic, or they go to sleep but they have really, really, really intense dreams, which means the night is like quite distressing. So yeah, you have to be kind of careful with which person you are, and often you don't know until you've tried. But yeah, like I think it's unfortunate that like valerian has been so kind of like commodified that like people go for like a default herbal sleeping tablet and they go for valerian and they're like, oh, it hasn't made any difference. And it's like, well, maybe it's like just stimulating for you, you know? So yeah, so basically be, again, like with the kind of like trauma history stuff, like people are very different, right? Like some people manifest trauma and it's like a real kind of like chronic fatigue-y, like body pain, fibro kind of like stuff. And for other people, it's like very like visual auditory, like it's a lot of flashbacks and it's a lot of nightmares. And yeah, like it's very visual. And I think for people like that, I really just steer clear of a lot of valerian. That being said, though, it has, you know, has been used all over the world, like especially in like World War II and stuff, like in the trenches for people as like quite an extreme kind of sedative. But do you know what? I think sometimes it's like a quantity thing. Like I think if people take really a lot of valerian, like they will be like really fucking knocked out. Whereas I think if you have a little bit, then it's like, it can be a bit more psychoactive. But that's just a theory. Do not quote me on that. That's just my theory. Okay, so let's dive into a couple of the plants. All right, so let's chat briefly about skullcap. I know it's fucking hard to talk about a herb briefly. I just want to say there's like a very comprehensive profile about skullcap in the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course. So that will be much more thorough. But yeah, I guess a couple of key things with this herb. So I'm like a fucking skullcap drug dealer, to be honest. Like I can rarely think of a client that I don't offer it to in terms of like sleep support. So yeah, it's really wonderful as like this kind of like pre-bedtime, like hour before you want to sleep kind of tea. But obviously tea before bed isn't great for everyone. Excuse me, I have found it's generally been fine, but if someone's a little bit more sensitive, then, you know, a tincture is potentially more effective. But yeah, there's something about the tea. I don't know, there must be like a constituent thing going on or several that makes it kind of feel quite different in an infusion. But I encourage people to work with it kind of like fairly medium term. So when I was like battered after a really, really intense PTSD episode, I worked with Skullcap for 4 months, taking like a cup of the tea in the evening, and it just like was a fucking lifesaver, basically. So yeah, like I think if someone is like learning how to inhabit a more parasympathetic state, then it's a fantastic teacher and can create that like nice kind of evening like anchoring ritual, like that kind of like I'm tending to myself feeling, which is quite powerful, I think, and makes like bedtime like much more like intentional. But yeah, it's got this kind of like tropho restorative action, like in terms of helping kind of rebuild our nervous system. Oh my God, I can't be brief. Like Skullcap's like fantastic in terms of contains GABA, which is like an inhibitory neurotransmitter. So that really helps with anxiety and sleep and also convulsions. Like historically, Skullcap's had a lot of sort of like folklore and like traditional, like, what's it called? Traditional uses, but kind of like documentation of that kind of relationship with Skullcap around things like epilepsy and like restless leg and like twitching muscles and tremors. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. And also Skullcap's like got an affinity for people with shingles, and you know, like we use Baikal Skullcap shitloads in Calais, like as this like amazing kind of broad spectrum antimicrobial. And the Skullcap I'm talking about now is Virginia Skullcap, Scutellaria latifolia, but there are like Skullcaps all over the world. But yeah, I just can't help wonder if there's just this like, again, this like slight antimicrobial, antiviral action that's like helping people that have nervous system stuff on that kind of axis, you know, like gut issues and things. But yeah, when people sort of present with like musculoskeletal tension, I think Skullcap's like particularly amazing. And yeah, it's also bitter, so it will help with the liver and enhancing kind of digestion and things. But yeah, for when people have this kind of like tense, tight state, Skullcap's this wonderful, cooling, kind of antispasmodic. And yeah, I have found it. I've never had a nightmare with Skullcap personally. I've had like deep dreams, but it's really enabled like depth and quality of sleep for me and other people I know. I haven't found it kind of stimulating or triggering of trauma personally. Okay, I'm going to leave it there with Skullcap because there's so much more to say. It's also really high in lots of minerals, which again, often people have a lot of mineral deficiencies because capitalism and industrial agriculture is fucking shit. So we're not getting the nutrients we need, especially things like magnesium. So yeah, I think that's another part of Skullcap's action. But oh my God, I'm going to stop talking about Skullcap because there's just so much to say. All right, and then passion flower. So yeah, so again, passion flower does grow in my village. I must say, like, I haven't ever grown it enough to like harvest from it. It's always been a herb that I've kind of sourced. And passion flower is something that's like, I feel like it's much more accessible. Like you can kind of like shoplift some passion flower tablets from fucking Holland Barrett. Do you know what I mean? I'm not advocating you to break the law, but I'm just saying like it's a herb that's a little bit more accessible. But if you can get some good quality tincture, it will fucking blow your mind, basically. And the glycerite, oh my God, is amazing. Like the glycerite with dried passion flower in the slow cooker with glycerin and some water in the like warm glycerite method that I promote in my making herbal medicine with glycerin course. It's fucking amazing. I don't want to say it's as strong as a tincture, but I feel like it's just as effective for people that can't have alcohol. And yeah, again, so much to say about passion flower, but I do feel like passion flower is like my go-to when there's like very persistent kind of insomnia, where like there probably is a kind of neurotransmitter imbalance. Like, I don't like the neurotransmitter paradigm in terms of, you know, defaulting everyone to the same medications and things. But I think passion flower does have a real like effect on our sort of central nervous system and on the production of certain neurotransmitters. So I do think it's like, yeah, makes it quite effective for that. And like, everything I've sort of learned about passion flower is this kind of affinity with like restlessness, like racing thoughts, kind of like anxiety that's like super kind of cerebral, like in the brain. But yeah, passion flower is also wonderful for some people in like daytime blends. Like, I couldn't take passion flower in the daytime. Like, I would be asleep on my fucking workbench in the herb shed. But for some people that are like super, super activated, like having a little bit of passion flower through the day is also really amazing. But yeah, again, like most of these sedative nervines, it's an antispasmodic. So, you know, it's been used in like a bunch of like respiratory medicine, for example. There's a kind of like transient effect on the blood pressure. Also, like, you can even work with passion flower like easily with like GI issues, like where there's kind of, you know, like gas and indigestion and things. So yeah, it's a really amazing herb. And yeah, it's also one of these herbs that's kind of like got some like more solid clinical trials around it, because, you know, people want to like commodify it and market it. But yeah, anyway, I think it's a very interesting herb. And yeah, you can learn more about it in the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course, where I talk about it in much more depth. I also share some of the clinical research, which I must say is a few years out of date now. But yeah, I think passion flower after skullcap, it's like my next, it's always like the next one I would go to, like, especially if people struggle with making a tea. I feel like having a cheeky bit of passion flower tincture next to your bed is like, oh, it's fucking great. Okay, I have to go back to the baby shortly. So I'm just going to briefly say about wild lettuce. I've already shared the anecdote about the client who would sleep through their alarm. But I feel like wild lettuce is kind of like bringing out the big guns, if that makes sense. Like, it's a very, very strong sedative and has like a much stronger kind of hypnotic effect. So this is because it's got like a high alkaloid content. But it's also, yeah, just this wonderful antispasmodic. So if someone is struggling to sleep, for example, because of like body pain, like I used to have a lot of costochondritis, like chronic inflammation in the cartilage of the rib cage. And yeah, kind of like wild lettuce would be if someone was in like a really intense like pain state. You know, like, for example, you've just fucking like broken your leg or something and you can't sleep because you're in horrendous pain. Like, I would definitely work with something like wild lettuce. But there's a lot of like safety considerations of everything I said at the start, you know, like not driving, not operating machinery. Like, it really will like knock people out. So for me, I have worked with wild lettuce, you know, for people that are really struggling and have, you know, we've gone through the like other things, you know, we've tried skullcap, we've tried passion flower, and then, you know, we've landed on wild lettuce and it's worked for them. It's a very, very cooling plant. And I think there's like, you know, that constitutional dynamic as well. But I have shared this before, I guess just like content warning, but when my friend Taylor died in prison, like, I was like just this biggest ball of rage and emotional pain. Like, it didn't help. I also caught COVID like a few days after he died. But like, I was like so angry at the prison system. Like, I couldn't fucking like rest for like a microsecond and just constantly full of adrenaline. And like, yeah, I just wasn't getting any sleep, and it was pretty clear to everyone around me that like that was a top priority, because I think I was like on the edge of just fucking murdering someone. Like, I was so like triggered, and it was just wild lettuce. Like, that herb just had my fucking back. So like, I would take like a swig of wild lettuce glycerite and that would be it. I would pass out. And, you know, I would sleep like a proper sleep, 8 hours, and wake up and actually feel like a human again. And like, I am so grateful to that herb for getting me through that dark time, because, you know, even though I love the other herbs, they weren't touching the sides. Do you know what I mean? So I think when someone is in that really like life-changing state of distress, wild lettuce like just comes into its own. But yeah, I talk about it so much more in the course, and I'm sorry to have to stop recording now. But yeah, the Herbalist in PTSD and Traumatic Stress course is still open for a little bit longer. Please join if you're interested. If this stuff is interesting to you, you will fucking love the course. There's 32 plant profiles where I'm actually able to give them the time and the space and the attention they deserve to talk about them in much more depth. So yeah, please check it out, and thank you for listening. And yeah, speak soon.
Thanks so much for listening to the Frontline Herbalism podcast. You can find the transcript, the links, all the resources from the show at solidarityapothecary.org/podcast.